Race in sports has been a controversial topic for years. Some people feel that in spite of the large salaries that pro athletes command, they are little more than hired hands, high-priced slaves to the leagues that pay them. Others feel these multimillionaires owe a debt to their people and need to be more socially conscious. And then there's the continuing question of racism in sports. New York Times sports columnist William Roden has a new book, $40 Million Slave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete. In it, he takes an historical look at race in sports and discusses a number of topics, including whether today's stars are doing enough to help their communities.
It really raises that question about social responsibility. And by the way, there are a lot of athletes, brothers doing a lot of good things, Alonzo Mourning. And I mean, everybody's got a foundation, but we really need to get back to being a team. You know, that the problems that are facing our community are much greater than any one individual's ability to solve it. And as you get through this history that I described in the book, you understand that every single victory was attained through a collective movement, whether it was Jackie Robinson or Jesse Owens. There was always a team effort. What has happened with things becoming so lucrative is that it's become much more of an agents, and people have kind of convinced guys that, hey, listen, man, you could do this by yourself. You don't need this guy. So you've got all these factions of people doing good things, but they're doing it kind of in isolation.
How much of the times of the day, Bill, reflect the athletes of the day? I think back to Jim Brown, Harry Edwards, Bill Russell, many of the gentlemen who had a socially conscious stance, demeanor, often sometimes saying to owners privately and sometimes publicly, we're looking for this if you want us out there on Sunday or Saturday or Friday. We don't see that now in the same way. But one might say that just the world today, America today, is not as proactive as it used to be.
The problem is that the issues are not as black and white. You know, in 1947, it was clear what the issue was. You know, blacks couldn't play baseball. You know, blacks couldn't play, Major League Baseball. Blacks couldn't play Major League Football. In the 50s, blacks were getting lynched in Mississippi and couldn't vote. You know, the issues were very, very tangible. There weren't a lot of black athletes, so there was this different type of push. I think now, Ed, as with a lot of other things, things have become much more complex, not quite as visible. But I think if you're an athlete and you kind of look around and you look at, number one, how much power do we have? You know, collectively, we have a lot of power. We could do things. You know, you don't really even have to act in opposition to, racism anymore. For most of our history, it's always been reacting to racism. And we've been so used to reacting and being counterpunchers. You know, what's the worst thing you could do to a counterpuncher? The worst thing you do to a counterpuncher is, make him become the aggressor. And he's out of his element. I think that's where athletes are now, in that they are in a position for the first time, I think, ever, to have the resources and the global acclaim to actually begin to build and to create and not to react. And I think that's very difficult without a mentor, an older person, a wise man or woman, to give you the kind of plan to say, okay, this is a strategy in the 21st century.
How much is money the rule of the day? You have a great quote, great in the sense of interesting, from Grant Hill. We should note Grant Hill's father, Calvin Hill, played in the NFL, his mom, a lawyer. Here is a young man who came from means, unlike many of the athletes we see today. One of the quotes you have when talking about athletes getting involved and fighting and being socially conscious, he talks about when you're making $200,000 every 2 weeks, it's hard to get angry about much of anything, end quote. Put that in context and talk to me about how that speaks to, again, the criticism that we've seen cast toward Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and many others.
Grant was one of my first interviews, and he was actually saying that in the context of being frustrated that, because his father... his father is a history major and historian, that kind of stuff. And, Grant knows about the struggle and that kind of stuff. And he knows the irony of guys having this kind of money and no consciousness. And it takes a heck of a person to see through that money and understand that there are large numbers of your people who are really suffering, who are really feeling the cold. And if you look at the quote after, Larry Johnson said that, you know, I told Larry Johnson what Grant said. He said, you know what? Yeah, that's exactly wrong. What's wrong with black people now? You know what happened to the struggle? Black people got jobs.
And finally, the title of the book, $40 Million Slaves, we should note came from, I understand, you mentioned Larry Johnson, former NBA forward, all-star with the New York Knicks and a couple of other teams before that. This came from him being heckled by a fan saying that he was nothing more in the end than a $40 million slave. And so at the end, maybe this is what all of these guys should remember. Often that is still how they're seen.
You know, what you'll see also in the book, there were a lot of slaves, particularly jockeys and trainers, who made a lot of money. One guy, Charles Stewart, he made so much money training horses and that kind of stuff that he had to have an agent. And we're talking about like in the early 1800s. But the fact remains that he was still a slave. There are a lot of jockeys who are making a lot of money and they'd finish a race and they found out they had been sold to another plantation. But, you know, they made a lot of money. So clearly the metaphor of slavery and the plantation is troubling in this country just because of our history. But I think you're absolutely right, is that like Kurt Flood said, you know, it's kind of like sharecropping. You know, when you don't own it, when you don't own the enterprise and you could be kind of treated like chattel, that's essentially what you are.
Yeah, and again, for people that don't know, either too young or are not big sports fans, Kurt Flood is the man who really put his career on the line and brought about free agency in the sense of believing that you ought to have some sense of guidance in your own career and that you shouldn't be owned lock, stock, and barrel by that owner and that team forever. The book is $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete. The author is William C. Roden, and always good to have you with us, Bill. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure. We'll be right back.